If you're visiting with us today for the first time, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Our brother Wayne Pitts will be leading our second service at 2 p.m. at Pacific Hills Manor this afternoon. The discipleship class at 4 o'clock will feature Pastor Otero giving instruction on how to study the Bible and how to get the most from God's Word. In our 5 p.m. Evening worship service, Pastor Otero will continue teaching the series on Christ in the Old Testament. Today he will be speaking on the Lord Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God, Christ, the King of Kings, from the books of Chronicles. One last note, you will note the insert in your bulletin concerning the women's ministry, the Secret Sister Program. Monday, April 22nd, we will have, the ladies will have a special missionary guest speaker from the Ukraine, Carol Lewis, and all ladies are invited to attend. Our scripture reading for today, printed in your bulletin, is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 21 and 22. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Let us begin our worship now with the singing of hymn number 34, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Continue our worship with hymn number 129, verses 1, 2, and 4, At the Cross.
Would he be Lord God's sacred head, or such a one?
you please stand now as we sing hymn number 378, Stand Up for Jesus?
Ourselves into prayer, I want to give you two informations. One, there is a package here in my hand. That's the Sunday school lesson for April, May, and June. We have enough copies that if you're interested to have what your teachers are teaching you every Sunday, they are right here, and you can have the copy free of charge. Donations, $1,000 are welcome. And then so that's for you. We have plenty of copies, and sometimes if you have children and you want to get ahead on the lesson, that will be proper. Tonight, at 4 o'clock, Pastor, this afternoon, we'll start a series of studies. Will take us a year and a half in how to get the most from God's Word. And these studies will teach you how to look into the Bible and how to really know the Bible. Three chapters. Know that you can trust the Bible. That's the number one. Number two, know what the Bible can do for you. And number three, know how to study the Bible. This is a very intense, detailed study. Notes are given, 10 pages per study, at 4 o'clock, 4 to 5, before the evening service, where Pastor tonight is going to compress four books of the Bible in about 25 minutes, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicle, and 2 Chronicle, talking about the wisdom of God, Christ Jesus, the wise. All right? So this looks like a college, but it's a church that want to teach you, and want to inform you, and want to give you the tools so that you too look upon God's Word and know how to take decisions in your life. Let's pray together. Father, we come into your presence in the very precious name of the Lord Jesus. He is our high priest. He's sitting, the Bible says, at the right hand of God in heaven. He's interceding for us, say Paul in Romans 8 and verse 34. He is the one that we want to lift up so that he can draw men unto himself. So bless us as we proclaim his name through the preaching of God's word, as we praise his name through the choir, and as the holy word of God will be read by our brother Plika. May this be a very precious moment in our life, that when we leave the place, we know that we have been with Jesus. The authorities and the times of the apostles know that. The men like John and Peter, who have a fishing company, they were so intellectual, so strong in what they believe, that they came to the conclusion that they took note that they have been with Jesus. Our interest, O God, is to proclaim your name so that people may know you well. And then, Father, as we're going to start this month talking about walking in life, the walk of life, may we be able to walk as Jesus walked. And may we be able to be a witness, a living witness of that great power of Christ, of that great mercy and love and compassion, tenderness, and a strong way of living in spite of the world in which he lived. May this be a great experience for all of us here in the auditorium. May we go home today with the Christ and the desires to be like Christ. Lord, touch my heart. Help me to speak from the heart, and to bring to the people's attention the greatness of your power, and then the demands that you require from us as we claim to be children of God. Bless those who are not here, those who are sick, those that perhaps cannot be with us because of some kind of difficulties and problems, maybe emotional, maybe psychological. And Father, bless those who are in hospitals and different places who are listening on this radio broadcast. And especially, Lord, we pray for those in the internet across the world as they listen to the word of the living God, that they too may be in fellowship with us and praise your name and learn about you. We thank you, Lord, for our missionaries, and we look forward to have the coming Sunday missionary Lewis. And we pray that you protect him and that you strengthen him, that he and his wife will be here with us the whole day. And we can hear the word of the living God from his lips. And we can hear a report of what you have done in their life in Ukraine. And then, Father, the ladies will have the next day the opportunity to chat and to ask questions and an intimate fellowship to meet with Carol Lewis. Thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to have missionaries, and from time to time to hold them right here so that we can see what you are doing in their life. Lord, bless the offering today as you always do. Thank you, Lord, for your people who are so well trained by the Holy Spirit that they are givers for the gospel ministry. Lord, we do have expenses, and we do pray for those expenses, and you supply them. You supply for Danny and for Martha and for the tape ministry and for the CD ministry. Lord, you are wonderful. Thank you for your people who yield with sacrificial love, giving. And so, Lord, bless the offering and bless the giver. In the precious name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. May we sit. My friends, this is Pastor Otero speaking to you in a wonderful way, giving you the opportunity to, in an informal way, to touch your life and to say, here's a phone number you can call us. 408-778-1-25-95 or 779-2300. And you call us and let us know what we can pray for
for you. This is very important to us. We'd like to share with you our burden, and we'd like to hear your burden so that we can pray for you. May this be a really wonderful opportunity to have a close fellowship regardless where you live. And if not, send me an email, gabrielotero@gabrielotero.org. That easy? Gabriel Otero, O-T-E-R-O, at otero.org, O-R-G. Just send me an email and I'll be in touch with you. Now let's join the service in progress. God bless you.
Why do you seek the living among the dead? Christ the Messiah is risen just as he said. Go tell the world all that you've seen today, the tomb that is empty, the stone rolled away. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek the living among the dead? Christ the Messiah is risen just as he said. Go tell the world all that you've seen today, the tomb that is empty, the stone rolled away. Why do you seek the living among the dead?
Him die. His words of truth, his healing hands, how will the world understand? Now it begins, this is the start, freedom is born in the living heart.
Choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 689. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. Our Father and our God, we thank you that we can come boldly into your presence, come boldly to the throne of grace, because of the person and work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you again for loving us and showing us mercy through our Savior, who bore our sins in his own body and endured the wrath that we deserve. Strengthen us, we pray, that we may be worthy witnesses and glorify you in the world, and bring glory to your name. We pray for your servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he exposes and explains your word, that you would bless him and his teaching, that we may understand and apply that teaching to our lives. We pray for the lost who are listening, that they may know that the salvation by grace through faith you offer, through the work of Christ, is for everyone, that they may not refuse this grace, but accept it, and enter into the full joy of your salvation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
This morning, I'd like to start in the month of May a series of studies on the walk of life. When I studied engineering, civil engineering, it was very easy to memorize charts and calculations and to draw difficult equations, to spend hours and hours in a table trying to figure out detail and how way, how to put the water in this place and the storms, locks in the others and so on. But the great, most difficult time of my life was when my first day of work was in a, it's like if you will come into Morning Hill with no streets whatsoever. And my father said to me, we have to develop 80 houses. Go and mark the place with so-and-so, who is a veteran. Go and mark the place. Later on, I come by. And be sure that you leave places for the trucks to unload, and be sure that the unloading is close to this place and to the other. Go and mark the place, and I'll be there. So I talked Don Petrone, never forgot, 23 years old, khaki engineer, tall, good looking, with a nice green Jeep, went to the place, left the road, and went into a dirt road. And my father told me there is a flag, he said, right inside. And turn to the flag, there should be the place. And there was a flag, an Argentine flag, in the place. And they want to make a new development, 80 houses. I get out of the Jeep, well-dressed, suits and so on, and they're mad and everything. And I look on it, and I said, boy, I studied this. Where are the marks? And how to find the pivot. They give you the level of the ocean into relation to the street. But this is a farm. this, I can't believe they marked this too. And so Don Petrone, 65 years old fellow, I thought it was old at that time. Now I think it was a young fellow. He, very patient man. Maybe my father talked to him. He put his arm like this and he said, "Sir, what should we do?" And I looked at him and I said, "I don't know." He said, "Oh, my son, follow me." And as I followed him, he just went to a place. He said, "See, here, let's dig right here. There must be a piece of steel about 3 feet down, and that will be a mark. And from there, we level, and we get our measurements, and we go." And I followed that man the whole day. Later on in the afternoon, when my father came, he said, "You found it." I said, "I didn't." He did. "So you're going to learn the great lesson of your life, that you know nothing until you practice." So from now on, he said, "You follow this man for 4 or 5 years, and you will be a great engineer." My father was right. Until you practice, you're never going to know anything. And so Paul does the same thing in our spiritual life. For 3 chapters, he's talking in Ephesians chapter 1 about the dealings of how God justifies you. And many of us will love verse 4 and 5. God has elected us, chose us before the foundation of the world, and he has redeemed us, and he has sealed with the Holy Spirit. And we know this by all over our head, over our body, and we can recite verse 13 when we hear the gospel of truth, and after you believe, you were sealed with the Spirit of God. And we can go on and on and on. And you go to chapter 2 and the greatness of the discovery. You were dead in your sins, and God then move on and he wakes you up. And we say, "See, you were dead. You cannot believe. And when you believe, and we are, you have all kinds of doctrine and so on. Magnificent." And then you go to chapter 3 and he revealed the justification of God and the glory of God. And you know. But then you come to chapter 4 and he put his hand like my own Petrone, and he said, "Now walk. Practice everything you have in your head. Just walk. See if you look like a Christian." That's what we're going to do in May. We're going to walk and see if we look like a Christian. Don't look on it, but just refresh your memory. In Genesis 5:24, the Bible said, "And Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him." He walked so close to God that then this earth was not enough for him, so God took him. In Genesis 6, in verse 9, the Bible recalled the generations of Noah and said, "These are the generations of Noah." Noah was a just and perfect man in all his generations, and Noah walked with God. So we're going to talk about walking with God, because it's not a dream, it's possible. We have witness in the Bible that they walk with God. These are no super people. If you study Noah, you will see that one time he got drunk and all kinds of things. But these people walk with God. What does mean the Enoch and Noah walk with God? How can I understand this in today's world, 10,000 years later? See, that I'm glad that we have the New Testament, because we believers in the Bible have an Old Testament and a New Testament, and the New Testament will help us to interpret what is said in the Old Testament. So in the second part of the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians, Paul unfolds the walk of life that pleases God so that we can be informed from God's word what he expected from you and me when we go to work, when we go to school, when we are in home talking to people. The first paragraph in chapter 4 of Ephesians, a letter of the Apostle Paul, inform us how to walk worthy of our call. Look in verse 1. I therefore, he says, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, I beg you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. You were called, and we know that. He spent 3 chapters. We were dead in sin and trespasses. We were unbelievers. And no way to believe. That's the hardest part. That's what my heart bleeds for those who are unbelievers, because by themselves they cannot come unless God called them. But we are believers, and we have been called of God. See, God has called you. God brought you from unbelief to believe, and now we see God. And he said, now, sir, you need to respect, you need to be worthy of the call that is in you. You need to be worthy of that call. You need to honor that call. You need to stand tall because you are a Christian. Not proud about others, but stand tall and walk like a Christian. You're a wife, you need to walk like a Christian. You're a husband, you need to walk like a Christian. You're single, you need to walk like a Christian. And so Paul, in verse 1, he said, this is your duty. And Paul was a great teacher. He will tell you the statement first and then explain it in the verses that follow. That is the Hebrew thinking. First, they make a declaration and then they expound it. And so let's look on it. We're going to study the walk. We're going to study the purpose of that walk, why I need to do that in verse 3. And then from verse 4 to 6, he gives you the reason why you need to walk worthy of your call. So let's spend a little time. Verse 2 talks about the walk of life. Look at the walk. Now, in the King James, some of these words sounds odd to you. So we're going to clarify each one of them. But let me read it for you. We need to walk with all lowliness, very seldom we use that word, and meekness, with long suffering, we no longer use that word, forbearing one another in love. Now let's see these 4 nouns, is that right? When you walk like a Christian, here is the walk that I expected. Lowliness, I expected meekness, I expected, say God, long-suffering and forbearing. 4 style of walk. All right? 4 style. Let's look at each one of them. Walk in loneliness. That word is used in Matthew's gospel by Jesus in chapter 11. So let's turn there in Matthew's gospel in chapter 11 and in verse 29. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, in verse 29, page 568, if you are using one of our Bibles in the pew, 568. Look at what Jesus said. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And some of you, your New King James Bible will say humble in the heart, and ye shall have rest in your souls. And loneliness means humility in your heart. People have created religion, and I want to explain that at 4 o'clock, what the religions that people have created in order to find God. And you can do like that and look when somebody just have religion and no God, because they try to show something. Like some religion trying to show humility by the way they dress. And so their priests will have a robe and no shoes, sandals, because that shows the poverty of the spirit. That's not humility. That's a show. Some people will let the women, their hair long dresses, and they no makeup whatsoever, and they look from the tomb when they walk, and they say they are in humility. But Jesus said, I'm lowly, I'm humble, where? In the heart. When you're humble in your heart, means that you don't think anything about anybody else. You just think very soberly about yourself. You don't put yourself above any person whatsoever. Actually, you feel inferior to anyone, and you're not proud. You just have a very humble opinion of yourself. That's what Jesus said. That will give you a nice walk. A very humble opinion of yourself. You are in a meeting, and very soon you have people who are opinionated. And you know, you share your opinion, the others share their opinion, and there will be one who wants their opinion to be the only one who is right. Humble in the heart. Humble in your heart. Then Jesus said, and meekness. What is meekness? And if you go again to Matthew 11 and verse 29, Jesus also said that he was a meek man. He said in verse 29 in Matthew 11, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek. What does mean, Jesus, you are meek? Well, let's go to John in chapter 8, and you will see there in John chapter 8, in verse 29, what Jesus really means when he said, I am meek. And he that sent me, I'm reading John 8, 29, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that pleases him. See that? To be meek is to be submissive. To be submissive. And Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, was submissive to the Father. And to be meek is to be submissive to the Scripture. That's a walk of life that Paul is talking about. To be humble about yourself. And now I can see how humbleness helped me to be submissive to God. My opinion is never superior to God's opinion. I could question God's opinion because I don't understand it. As many times I thought they had better solutions than God had in the Bible, and I will do things in different way. But remember what the Bible said in Isaiah, my ways are not his ways. And they are, how close are my ways to his ways? As the heaven is from the earth. Heaven's plural. That means where God is, heavens of heavens of heavens, from the earth. That's how far is my opinion. So I better shut up and submit to him. So this is the work of life. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 in verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 3 in verse 4. And you will see another enlightenment about this. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornaments of a meek and quiet spirit. Do you see that? A meek, a quiet spirit. The walk of life should be a walk of life that I have I know who am I, and then I'm careful with myself, and I'm not judging the others and comparing with myself, and then I'm completely, daily, hourly, submitting to God's opinion. That's why it's good to read the Bible, so that you get to God's opinion. Because if you do not read the Bible or hear the Bible on a tape, on a CD, how do you know what God wants? And so here it is. We need to be humble. We need to be submissive to God. And then Paul said, long-suffering. Long-suffering is a strong word for the word patient, which means patient under provocation. Now, you can be patient, but when somebody provoke you once, twice, 10 times, 20 times, and go on and on and on, you say, well, I cannot take it anymore. Is that right? How many times is I cannot take it anymore? Patient under provocation. You are in 1 Peter. Let's go to 2 Peter in chapter 3 and in verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 in verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. That's the word patient. Is long-suffering, is patient to ask God, that talking about the believers, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. Now, let's face it. We do not came to God because we want to. Actually, when somebody talked to you about God and you were young, you were arguing about it. And God knew that you were one of his children. And he was patient and patient with us. God did not reject us the first time that we say, I don't care about God. God did not reject us. God patiently waited until he brought that earthquake that opened our mind and heart and saw him. See, God is long-suffering. Long-suffering. You all know the story of the man who wrote Amazing Grace. A man of great caliber, intelligent. A man who owns ships and he moved in the oceans and control slaves and work for the British Empire. A man of great prosperity. And one day God brought in a storm. I mean, a real wave storm. And he knew that his ship will die. And for the first time, because of a slave who prayed, for the first time, he opened his mind to God. See, God was patient. 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 Did it have anything to do with us? Well, at least with me. Look at in 2 Timothy, in chapter 4, and in verse 2. Look at what happened. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 4 is a nice passage for the ordination of a pastor. In verse 4 is the requirements of a pastor. And say, preach the word. How? Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with what? Long-suffering, with patience. That's what I have to keep on teaching. It's people don't got it. Don't worry about it. I have to keep on teaching. Keep on teaching. And you teach and people go in the wrong direction. You patiently keep on guiding and keep on guiding and never give up. Long suffering should be the quality of a pastor. You never give people up. You never give your sons or your daughters, well, they're never going to learn this. I don't care anymore about them. You never do that. A pastor will never say, well, this member of the church never got it. He's so stubborn. I don't care about him anymore. You can't. Because God never gave up you, so how can you do that with the others? You only say, well, today they don't see it. Tomorrow they may. So we walk in humbleness of a heart. We walk with submission to God. We walk with patience and a severe provocation. Patient. And then he said, forbearing one another. Now, walking for bearing one another is bearing one another. Now, I don't know about you, Anthony, but my father was a very tall fellow and so on. And I was a tiny little 6 years old. I never forgot. And he took me to the botanic garden. And we had to cross three or four avenues over there. And you know, in South America, the people drive really dry. They see you and they pass over you, you know. So you have to know how to walk and cross the street. And there were no lights at that time. You know, I'm an old fella. So 6 years old, and my daddy, for safety, will carry me piggyback. That was the best time of my life. I never forgot. He will lay down. I will run and jump, and he will carry me piggyback. And I never thought anything about the cars because I was with my father who carried me piggyback. I know that God many times carries us piggyback, but we have an obligation to one another. Go to Galatians. You're in Ephesians. Go to Galatians chapter 6. This is what I call the piggyback verse. Galatians chapter 6. In verse 1 and verse 2. Brethren, say Paul, if any man be overtaken in a fault, I mean, if you caught somebody doing wrong in sin, ye which are spiritual, smash him in the head. No. Restore such a one in the spirit of, what are we talking about?
Meekness means submission to God. Considering yourself, lest you do the same, lest thou be tempted, said the King James, lest you do the same. And now look at the counsel in verse 2. Bearing, forbearing, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You see it? We know that this person has an infirmity, has a sin, something wrong. And so we put that person in our shoulders and we carry with ourselves and we carry within ourselves. So that we're trying to protect that person, that nobody knows what that person is doing until that person is out of the trouble. And that's the work of a pastor and the work of you as a believer. You take care of that person, making allowance for the faults and failures of others. Don't just measure somebody, say, that's a measure like me, okay, out. No, making, remember that, allowance for the fault and failure of others. Now, that's the walk that Paul is talking about back in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2. So let's look at it. Walking with humbleness in your heart. Don't think that you are better than somebody who believes in free will. Or somebody who believes in the millennium. I have great persons and friends who believe in the coming of the Lord and the millennium. I said, I think it's crazy, I said, but it's all right. See, they are not denying the Lord. They are saying the Lord is going to come and reign for 1,000 years. I think it's wrong, but if we have to reign, we reign with him. So what? Are we with him? Yeah, who cares? If we are with him, you know, after this war is over. And if we have to reign with Christ here, but it's okay. Don't cut that person off. Somebody said, I choose God. And you see their life. There's a life of Christ. I said, well, even though he doesn't know it, that God chose him, he's a great guy. Humility. Don't tell him that you know more. One day, you pray for the person that they may come to a greater truth. Not to a better truth, but to a greater truth. Submission. See that next word? Meekness. Submission to God. Well, that one, really, we have to work. Submission to God. As a husband, as a man of God, as a child of God. So, you know, when you submit to your parents, remember Ephesians 6:1 said, children, obey your parents. When you submit to your parents, you are showing meekness. You are showing a walk of life. And you are preaching the gospel louder than anybody else can be. Better than 20 sermons from Pastor Otero. When a child of this church submit to the parents. Submission. Patient. Don't write people off from your mind. Please. Patient. And then carry people in your shoulders and in the privacy of your life. So in that way, you are able to help others. Now, that's the walk of life that he expected. Doesn't require any college to understand it. Doesn't require any degrees. It requires that we are willing, if you're a child of God, we are willing to do what he says. Now, what's the purpose in this? Look in verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You see that? For a church to be united, you don't have to sign a statement of faith. You have to walk like Christ. That's the united that God wants to. You can sign 20 statements and live it the way you want to, then the church is not united. But he said the only way that the body of Christ in a locality will be in unity like a family is if we all submit to God and do what God says. That is unity. There is unity in communication then, and there is unity in our thinking. There is unity in our behavior. If we do exactly what God said, that's the purpose. We need to walk like a believer and talk like a believer and yield to God so that the church is united. You see, your private walk of life helps all of us. Makes the church strong. Now, what's the reason for this? Verse 4 to 6, so we talk about it. that there is one body, verse 4. There is only one body of believers. And who is the chief? Pastor Otero? No, look at here. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. Look who is the chief of that body. Colossians 1 and verse 18. And he, talking about Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. Not the fellowship, the church. I say it again. And he is the head of the body, the church, not the fellowship, but the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he be the preeminent. So there is one body. When you go to heaven, you don't find Bethel Baptist Church in any place. You don't find Grace, Sovereign Grace Church. The one is about three blocks from here. You can look for Grace Sovereign Church. There is none. It's the body of Christ. There's only one body. One church. You don't find Roman Catholic Church. You don't find a Pope. Nothing. You find the body. Verse 4 again in Ephesians said, we have one body and one Spirit. One is Spirit. No two spirits, but one is Spirit. Are you sure, Pastor? Sure. Look, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16 tells you where the Spirit is. Know ye not, said 1 Corinthians 3:16, that ye are the temple of God, the believers, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. This Holy Spirit is no zombing around over your head like a ghost. No, sir. The Holy Spirit, when you became saved, the Holy Spirit zeroing in your body, and now you got the Holy Spirit. No wonder Jesus said, when two or three gather together, I am in their midst. That means he is in your body, and he's in the other body, and he's there. Wow. Paul explained this in Ephesians again in chapter 1 and in verse 13 of the book of Ephesians. He explained this very, very clearly about dwelling of the Spirit. And whom ye also trust, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit. See that? It's not the Holy Spirit is dancing around and is teaching you with voices. No, it's teaching you from inside. And is that Spirit permanent in me? Well, look in Ephesians 4 and in verse 30 then. In chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. No, until the day of the end of the church. You got it? Until the day of redemption. And when the day of redemption comes, then comes the end of the church. And not before. Oh, how simple is the scripture. There is one body, there is one Spirit. Thank you, God, that you give me the Holy Spirit. Now, for what purpose? Some people said today, the Holy Spirit, you have the Holy Spirit, yes. But the Holy Spirit cannot teach you. You need another spirit flying around to teach you. How stupid. Look at here in John chapter 14. In Gospel of John chapter 14 and verse 26. Who is teaching you? John 14 verse 26. By the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said to you. The Holy Spirit, the one who teaches you. You don't need to be in a parking lot altogether so the Holy Spirit flies around and teach you. No, if you're a believer, you read the Bible in the train and the Holy Spirit teaches you. Wow. One body. One Spirit. See, this is the reason why we need to have unity and walk carefully. And look at again in Ephesians 4 and in verse 4 said, even as you are called in the hope of your calling. There is only one hope. There is only one hope of my calling. And what is that? Titus chapter 2, please. Chapter 2, verse 12 and verse 13. Titus, after Timothy, Titus, chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present world. Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You got it? When he said one hope is that we believers have only one thing in mind. Jesus is coming again. That's it. Wow. See, that's what we need to walk worthy. There is one body, there is one spirit, there is one hope, and there is one Lord, said in verse 5. You see it? There is one Lord. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2, and you got it. Philippians 2, and let me read verses 9 to 11 in Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to verse 11. Wherefore God also had highly exalted him, him as Jesus, and given him a name, which is about every name, the other name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth. That's very clear. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ is Lord. That means we call him Sir. What do you want from us? That's it. That's it. And there is a danger in this. And the danger, Christ explained it in Matthew 7. Let me show it to you. Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23. A lot of people call Jesus Lord. Lord. But Matthew 7, verse 21. Look at what Jesus said. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in the day, in that day, that means at the judgment day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, and I say, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You can say, Lord, 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 and if you live like the devil, then Lord, Lord, Lord means nothing. That is why Ephesians chapter 4, that's what I want to talk to you this month about, walking like Christ. Because if we say, yes, we come to church, we sing in the choir, we preach in the pulpit, but our lifestyle doesn't show Christ, then your Lord, Lord, Lord means nothing. One Lord who won the practice. And then not only say one Lord, one faith. One faith. You remember Acts 16:31? Here is an elite soldier here who never saw an earthquake, and here comes an earthquake, and the doors are open. And the more natural thing, if you're in jail and the doors are open and nobody's there, you run out. And his head is in jeopardy. And he goes with a sore, and everybody is in the place. And Paul and Silas are singing. He said, hi, fellow, how are you? He said, what's going on? And so he looked to Paul and to Silas and said, what can I do to be saved? It's a one faith. He said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's only one faith, fellas. It's no believe in the church, believe in good works, believe in this, believe in the other. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. There is nothing more to it. One Lord, one faith. Verse 5 said, one baptism. And here's what is a big confusion. One baptism, a big confusion. People do not understand that the word baptism is a Greek word, bapto, which means to wash your hands by immersion. In that time, remember, there was no faucet, so you have a basin full of water, and you wash your hand before the ceremonial law, and that word is in the Old Testament. So you immerse your hands into the water, and you wash your waters like that. Baptism. And so one, no wonder God used that word clearly two times in a marvelous way. 1 Corinthians 12 in verse 13, the Bible talks about that the one who puts you into the church is God. 1 Corinthians 12 in verse 13. Look at what the Bible said. For by one Spirit are we all baptized, where? Into one body. You know what baptized means? It means God have washed you and placed you into the body. He placed you into the body. So one baptism means there is one spiritual act of God where God placed you into the body. Now, there is another baptism. It is the physical baptism where you testify to the entire world that you have been placed into the body. And that's in Romans chapter 6 and in verse 3. That is when you testify and you say to the world, yes, sir, God has saved me, and therefore God placed me into the body. Romans 6, verse 3, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. So many of us were placed into Christ, we were placed into his death. No wonder, when you go to the book of Acts and remember the eunuch, that fellow from Ethiopia, that he was driving his Cadillac from Samaria all the way to Ethiopia. In Acts chapter 8, and Philip, the deacon of the church, is teaching him great things. And they went on their way, and they came into certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder to be baptized? What can it stop me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all your heart. See, if the Holy, you want to have an outward baptism, yes, you need to show to me that you already have experienced an inward baptism. In order to be baptized outwardly, you need to experience an inward baptism first, and then outwardly we baptize you. So one baptism. Don't play with baptism. It's only one baptism. It's the act of God where he saved you. And when he saved you, now you testify to the world, I have been saved by the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 6 said, there is one God and Father of all. There is one God. There is one God, the Father of all. And in the Gospel of Mark, in chapter 12, in verse 29, we have an explanation of that. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Yes, we have one God who manifested himself in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So there is unity in God's head. You see that? There is unity in God's head. And so the purpose why we need to walk like Christians and talk like Christians and obey God and having heart humility, submission to God, patience, and bearing one another is to show the world that we are in unity. And what Satan did? He divided the church. Just go through the newspaper and find how many denominations we have. Go through the telephone book and find how many denominations we have. That's the work of Satan. He divides all of us so that people are confused and they don't know where to find the truth. And the good part is that each pastor said, I have the truth. And you have 7 pages of churches listed under Baptists. Another 7 pages on Presbyterians and 20 more pages on these. And who has the truth? That's the work of Satan. He did it when Paul was on earth. Remember, some people were already following Apollos. Why? Because God demands unity. And that unity means God is God and I'm going to submit to him regardless if I like it or not. When you were in the Army, or the Navy, or the Air Force, they don't tell you march, and you say, oh, let me think about it. You move. Here is the whole sermon in one verse, so you can say those 40 minutes today. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. Look at what John said. The whole sermon in a nutshell. 1 John chapter 2, and verse 6. He that saith, he abided in him. He that said that he abided in him, out himself also saw to walk, not to know, but to walk even as he walked. Oh, may God help us that we, the people of God, get a desire because we have one Savior, because we have one Lord, because we have one salvation, because we have one church. We're going to walk like Jesus and talk like Jesus and see what Jesus like us to see, so that the world may see in us the person of Christ Jesus. Lord, give us patience. We don't have it. Lord, give us humility because we don't have it. Lord, teach us to walk so that people may see that there is one Christ and one Lord. Lord, teach us. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Beside my Jesus, Lord, I'm gonna sit down and rest a little while.
We'll soon be done.
We'll soon be done with troubles and trials. Yes, in that home on the other side. Shake that hands with the elders,
Lord,
and tell my kindred good morning.
I'm gonna sit down beside my Jesus,
Lord, I'm gonna
sit down and rest a little while.
I shall behold his blessed face, I shall steal his matchless race. We'll soon be done with troubles and trials. Oh, what peace and joy sublime in that home of love divine.
And I'm gonna sit down beside my Jesus, Lord, I'm gonna sit down and rest a little while. We'll soon be done.
We'll soon be done with troubles and trials.
Troubles and trials. Yes, in that home on the other side, on the other side.
Shake glad hands with the elders.
Yes, Lord.
And tell my kindred good morning.
I'm gonna sit down beside my Jesus, Lord, I'm gonna sit down and rest a little while. We'll soon be done.
We'll soon be done with troubles and trials. Yes, in that home on the other side,
on the other side.
Good morning.
I'm gonna sit down beside my Jesus. I'm gonna sit down beside my Jesus. I'm gonna sit down beside my Jesus. Lord, I'm gonna sit down and rest a little while.
We're gonna have the Lord's Supper this morning, being the first Sunday of the month. And we want to invite you to participate. If you are a guest, you don't have to be a member of the church. You have to be a member of God's church, not of this local church, in your heart. And you know it, and nobody is going to ask you questions as the plate of the bread is passed and the fruit of the vine. You will answer in your heart to God, and you participate as the Lord leads you. We're going to call our brother Victor, our brother Jovi, and brother Kasanjan to come this morning. To help to celebrate the Lord's Supper. I always use Matthew chapter 26, and deacons may be seated. In Matthew 26 records the time where Jesus had the last Passover with the disciples. And the Bible said that as they were eating, and Jesus took bread and blessed it and break it and gave it to the disciples and said, take it, this is my body. And if you read 1 Corinthians 10, you know that the body, the bread, represent the body of Christ, the body that was given for you and me, in your place and in my place. The deacons may stand, and they're going to, after we pray, they're going to serve you. You receive the bread, and you wait until the pastor is served, and then we all participate together. Brother Victor, will you thank the Lord?
Dear Lord, we just do thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, when we look at our lives, Lord, we say, oh, wretched man, who can deliver me from this body of death? Lord, we're just so thankful that Christ did.
Amen.
Christ has given us that hope, Lord. By giving up his own life and obeying his Father, as we learned this morning, doing his Father's will, Lord, and giving his life for our lives. And thank you for that hope, Lord. Thank you for suffering and dying for us, Lord. As we remember this, as we partake of this bread, Lord, help us also to remember that because of you dying and rising, Lord, help us to walk worthy of that calling that you have given us, Lord. And for these things, we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.